بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد وقال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله my beloved brothers and elders in Islam and my beloved students. You find every type of person in this world, whether he's a beggar, whether he's a business person, whether he's an educated person, whether a male, female, young, old, whoever may be, you ask them in whatever field you are involved in, what is your primary object? What do you wish to achieve? And you will find each one have a common object in mind, a common goal. If you ask a beggar, why are you begging? He'll say, I'm begging so that I can get money, so eventually I can have a good life. You ask a student studying so many years, school, going through the primary, tertiary, and even varsity, you're making so much effort, you're going through so much stress in studying, so many years of hard labor, what is your object and purpose for that? And he will say, one day I want to qualify, eventually I want to live a comfortable and good life. I want to be happy. You ask an unmarried person, why are you getting married? Or why you desire to get married? So I want to have a happy life. So one common goal, common object, but where people are searching for it, differs according to people's discretion. An unmarried person will may think that probably I'm unhappy and I'm lonely, so in marriage probably that will be a solution to give me my happiness. An uneducated person will feel that maybe I will get my happiness through education. A poor person will look at a rich person and probably will say, the reason why I am unhappy is because I lack of funds, I don't have the wealth. And like that, it varies. So object and purpose is one, but how to obtain that object differs. Changes. And the sad thing is that when a person makes all out effort in searching for that what he wants to obtain, and gives years and years of sacrifice for that object, after 30, 40 years of hard labor, when he looks back at his life and he says, I haven't achieved my object. And now to retract, and now to go back to start from the beginning, is very difficult or highly impossible. So, the understanding for us to know, or for us to understand, that object which every person is searching for, we have to find out where is it lying, where does it lie, how to obtain that object. Will we obtain that object through wealth, position, fame, education? Then look at the lives of those people who spend their lives in this direction and speak to them and see, did they obtain it? Once I was out in Jamaat, and there were a few youngsters with me in Jamaat, and they told me in the Merkaz that, you know what, these are but youngsters, you have to be very careful with them, sensitive. They had a very rough life in the past. They were involved in clubbing, drugging, everything, etc. So after about 15, 20 days, they felt more comfortable and they were more free to talk. So one day they were speaking to me and they told me, and I'm asking more the background about their life, etc. So one youngster, he must have been about 18 or 19. He tells me that, you know what, every vice that a person can think of, I was involved in. Clubs, drugs, women, name it, whatever it is. And he said that, you know, because I was coming from a wealthy family, I had the wealth. Every night after or that weekend, that hangover used to be so severe that many a times I contemplated on suicide, or committing suicide. So I became suicidal. And how many times I attempted it? It's Allah mercy that it did not materialize. And then he told me that this life of son, he's only 19. He himself now, after all this, realized and said that that is a far deception, a very, very, very big deception, because the after effects, and that brings us to such a low ebb that many a time people who contemplate to make it, to commit suicide, they achieve their object. Once Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullahi went to go visit him on this point, and at that time he was reading a letter, and he told us that, you know what, I just received a letter from one young person who normally communicates with me, and he said that, Maulana, I need to tell you that many of my friends who live this life of sin, who are searching for that happiness, many of them committed suicide. In their teens, we're talking about. But then he said an amazing thing. He said, oh, Maulana, I don't want to bring it to your notice that many of them, it's recorded, they met up for the accident to save the stigma and the bad reputation of the family. But actually, that is planned accidents in the form of suicide. So if this striving for these type of things to attain that happiness through these avenues, if that was giving them that peace of mind and that happiness, why do they contemplate suicide? One singer who afterwards Allah gave him hidayat, as Maulana was speaking, how important is companionship. So when he got hidayat, he started now befriending an alim, and a lot of things that was troubling him and that was worrying him, and there were a lot of unanswered questions that was troubling his mind. So he built a relationship with the alim, and regularly he used to speak to the alim, and whatever was troubling him, he used to speak, and the alim used to give him advice accordingly. So one day, he told the alim, you know, Maulana, regarding fame, popularity, money, everything, I hate it all. Every youngster in my country admired me and wished they could be like me. I was short of nothing, nothing. He said, then I started getting offers to now advertise for companies and different companies. And I became very popular. And as far as from a worldly perspective, there was nothing I was short of. But every night when I used to go to my bed, I used to cry for no reason. I used to find emptiness within myself. And a time came, I used to contemplate and say, why? I have everything at my disposal, but why am I restless? You see, many a time I used to be tossing in my bed, and sometimes half the night used to pass without me getting sleepy. And then that Maulana explained to him, and he said, you see, the difference is that you are making effort to try to satisfy your body and to fulfill the demands of your body, which is normally called nafs. And how much you can try to give in to the demands of this nafs, you will never find happiness. Because happiness doesn't emanate from the body. Happiness comes from within the ruh. And until that ruh is not at peace with his creator, which is Allah, it will never find happiness. It will always be restless. You see, the example is given. Allah forbid, if a person has to fracture his arm or break his arm, and now he's in constant pain, and now when the people tell him that, you know what, you need to go for an x-ray, and he refuses and he says, no, I will just apply ointment on the outside exterior, I will apply some ointment and some maybe deep heat or something, heat rub or something, and hopefully the pain will subside. Everybody will explain to him and say, you are mistaken. That is a foolish way of looking at things. The reason why you are in pain is because within the flesh there is a bone, and that bone is the problem. You need to heal that bone. Once that bone is healed, and once they find out the where the fracture is, and they put it in a cast, and then eventually now when the thing straightens out, etc., then automatically you will find that pain will subside and will disappear. So the problem is not on the exterior, the problem lies in the interior. Exactly in the same way today, when we find this unhappiness and we're searching for it in everything but that ruh which needs that relationship with Allah, then we will be just as foolish as this person trying to apply ointment on the exterior. Because the problem don't lie on the outside, it lies within. And then this alim told this person, just as how the body needs nourishment, like food, etc., the ruh also needs nourishment. And the nourishment of the ruh is that ibadat and that connection with Allah. When you strengthen that connection with Allah, then you will find all that happiness that you are searching for, you'll find it in there. And this is what we have to strive for. That learn to strengthen our relationship with Allah. When we correct our relationship with Allah, everything will be straight. One person gave a beautiful example, and he said that this world is a shadow of the akhirat. This world, it's a saying of the pious predecessors, that this world is a shadow of the akhirat. And then he explained that if I take a miswak that is straight, or rather if I take a miswak that is crooked, and I place it in the sun, then naturally the shadow that is going to cast on the earth will be crooked. It's obvious. Because the miswak is crooked. Now if I look at that shadow and I work all my, stress my brain out and I stress myself out to think, how am I going to straighten that shadow? Then tell Qiyamah, you're not going to straighten that shadow. That shadow will never straighten until you straighten the original object that's casting a crooked shadow. Everybody will tell this person, you cannot straighten the shadow. The shadow is a reflection of the original object, means the original object is skew. If you straighten that miswak, or that you put a straight miswak, then automatically without any effort on the shadow, it's going to cast a straight shadow. This is exactly our relationship with Allah. The moment our relationship with Allah, so to say, is skew, then every reflection in this world will be skew, that it will cast. And no sooner that we straighten the shadow, the relationship with Allah, then without any effort, automatically all our relationship with creation will be straightened. And this is the object why we have this Islahi Ijtimaz and Islahi Jalsas. For this reason, to teach us to build that connection with Allah, to build that relationship with Allah. And where Allah has kept us, now we are speaking when people are searching for happiness, and this is a common object, common goal, common purpose a person lives their life for. Everybody is searching for this happiness. Now if we say that the happiness lies within, then who is the one who gives happiness? Who is the one that places happiness in us? It's Allah Ta'ala. And where did Allah Ta'ala keep happiness? And here the ulama ikram explain, Allah is clearly in the things he right, in the Quran, that that person's who actions is good, amal al-salihah, and he's a believer, male or female, Allah promises, فَلَنُحْيَنَّ حَيَةً طَيِّبًا. Such a person will have a life of bliss, happiness. So there was one person, a very precious stone of his, he lost it in his room. And he couldn't find it. So he went outside there by the street, and 1-2 hours passed, and he's starting, he's looking and he's searching and he's worried. So a few of his friends came past, and they seen that this person is really worried and there's something troubling. So they asked him, I can see you uneasy, what's happened? He said, one of my very precious pearls has been, valuable precious stone has been lost. So naturally as friends, they said, alright, let's help you and let us help you search for it. And they're searching all around there. Another hour went past. So one of the friends, just by the way, asked him, but tell me something, can you recall exactly where you lost it? So he said, I lost it in the room. So they told him, but you lost it in the room, and you're searching it for here, you're searching it here. He said, you don't understand, my room is dark, here there's a street lamp, I'm hoping to achieve it here. The person will tell him, you can search for it till Qiyamah, you won't find it. Where it's kept, where it's lost, there you'll find it. So until we don't search for happiness where Allah has kept happiness, we will never find it. We can search in the worldly comforts, we can have all the amenities of the comforts of the dunya, but that happiness will never be achieved. Because why? Allah has not kept it in there. Allah has kept it in Allah's obedience, in that relationship with Allah. See, when that relationship of Allah is created, when that bond is created with Allah, and see what inner peace, what inner happiness a person enjoys. What is apparent? Once one person met me, and he told me with a lot of regret and a lot of remorse and sadness. And he told me, you know, I'm a millionaire. That's what I'm talking about, maybe 15, 20 years ago. He said, but I promise you, if Allah just gave me, he didn't even say bread. He said, if Allah even just gave me brown bread and milk, I would have been the happiest person in life. He said, the worry and the concern and the trouble that I'm going through because of this wealth, it has made me restless and I can't get sleep at night. And like that, each and everyone, you as young youth, introspect. And don't look at those apparent happiness. Let us analyze and see where true happiness lies. And we have to learn to rectify our relationship with Allah. Look at the pious predecessors, especially those that have Allah Ta'ala has given them hidayat afterwards. One day I was telling the students, one of the students I was mentioning, I said, did you ever see a person after getting hidayat ever regretting and wishing to go back to his life of sin? Never. Rather, when he looks back at his life, it's a life of darkness and it's a life of worry and concern. It's a nightmare for him to think of that life of sin. Because what Allah replaces for a person after he gets hidayat is far more superior than what he was getting in disobedience of Allah. The ulama say that person, the enjoyment Allah gives him in Allah's obedience is far greater than what a sinner gets in the disobedience of Allah. Because the disobedience of Allah, that is fake pleasure. It's not happiness. It's fake pleasure. Ask a drug addict that after that little fix he had for a temporary time, and ask him what is the feeling after he becomes sober. The low that he feels takes away all that little fake pleasure that he enjoyed for that little while. But ask a person who becomes Allah's friend, what enjoyment he gets in the obedience of Allah. You can't understand. Zunun Misri Rahmatullah Ali, one of the great saints, When he used to start performing salah at night, the whole night used to pass without even him realizing that the night had passed. As he's performing salah and he's getting that enjoyment with that communication with his Creator, from the corner of the eyes he used to see the horizon becoming now light, and with a lot of regret and remorse he said, "Alas, I am forced to terminate my salah because Subah Sadiq is ending." What enjoyment Allah gave them. And one alim explained so beautifully, he said, if Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with the sweetness and the enjoyment of ibadat, then understand he has got a gift from Allah and a ni'mat from Allah that even the jannatis won't have, because there's no ibadat in jannah. Subhanallah. What gave him that inner pleasure? Is that when Allah has kept that happiness, they are searching for that in the right direction. So beloved friends, this is the message today. Ask ourselves, everybody desire happiness. Everybody desire to have a blissful life. Ask myself, where am I searching for it? These people who are searching for it in the wrong direction, after 30, 40 years, they come to a dead end and they realize, what I'm achieving is nothing. It's a mirage, a deception. And now for them to think back, we spoke to people and they tell us, they say 40, 50 years has passed, and what I am trying to achieve, I didn't achieve. And that's what shaitan makes a person believe, you will achieve it. One friend of mine, he was in his 30s at that time, and then he told me that my intention is to work very hard and to establish a beautiful empire, and I'm hoping by 45 I want to retire. Just love of the effort that I made. In the process of him striving for this object of his, Sunday to Sunday he started working, neglecting family life, having no chance. And the wife used to ask him, what about the children, when you're not spending time? To console them and say, don't worry, just a few more years, make sabr, and then you'll see the fruits of my efforts. And one day I met him when he was about 43 or so, and was a good friend of mine. I asked him, how far? Now you said 45, you're going to retire, did you achieve? He said, no, in a few more years, I think maybe by 50 I should be sorted out. And at the age of 47, robbery shot him, passed off. This is this world. It will deny us. It's the most betrayal and disloyal thing to us. We search and we neglect our deen in aspiration for those things, which is a lie, a deception. So we have to work for that happiness where Allah has kept it, and then you get both, Jannatan, you get both. You get happiness and contentment in this world, and you get in akhirat, your akhirat, you get Allah's. Imagine getting Allah's happiness, what can be better than that? Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi, he gave up the kingdom of Balk to search for Allah. And one day when he was mending his clothes with his crooked nails, rusted nail, one of the ministers happened to pass, and he sighed a sigh of regret and remorse and said, and he just thought to himself, what a foolish person. He has given up that life of pomp and glory and happiness and all the amenities that was at his disposal to live like a life like this, like a pauper. And then he, Allah Ta'ala, inspired him with the thought of this person, and he called his minister. He told him, if you read it in the kitab, in the scattered pearls, I think it's mentioned. He said, I gave up the kingdom of the dunya, and Allah Ta'ala opened up a different kingdom to me. The kingdom of the ocean. And he was in front of the Dajla River. That needle, a crooked needle, he threw it in the water. And it is by his ishara, by his movement of his hand, thousands of sheep, of fish came and presented him golden needles. He refused. Then they presented silver needles. He refused. And then the one fish came and gave him his needle. Allah is shakur. You give up sin for Allah, Allah will replace you with something far more superior. Remember that. because Allah is shakur. And the enjoyment you will get, the after effects, it's not like a person involving in sin and they get that after effect, they get it low. In fact, you actually get a bigger high because you feel good. Allah gave you the tawfiq to fulfill this command of Allah. Allah gave you tawfiq to the Quran. Imagine. So Allah give us the understanding of this point. That when we're searching for that happiness, search it where Allah has kept it. And don't search in those things which seems apparently a person is happy. Because we just scratch the surface and you'll see that what a package the dunya come with. I will just conclude with this one incident. Mullah Ibrahim Devla mentioned just about this dunya, gave a parable and very appropriate. And he gives a very appropriate parable. And sometimes these parables are good for just to get the message and the moral bound. So Mullah once Mullah Ibrahim Devla Daman Barakatun had mentioned, he said there was a deer that went to go drink by the water. There was a water there. It was thirsty, it started drinking water. And as it looked at its reflection in the water, it sees its beautiful antlers. And he said, this antlers is really enhancing my image. So beautiful, makes me look so beautiful. And then it focused on its legs. And he said, what a pity. These legs are the only thing that is so thin and skewed that it's actually spoiling my image. As the deer is thinking of this, the wind started blowing in the direction of the deer, and their sense of smelling is very strong, and immediately he sensed there was a hunter. So when he looked in that direction and he seen that hunter was already stalking him and trying to shoot it, spontaneously, instinctively, it started running for its life. Started running in the opposite direction of this hunter. The hunter is stalking it. And it came across a tree with full of low branches. And as it tried to pass this tree, because of this antlers that were so high, it got tangled into one of the low branches and it held it back. And as it's trying to run, the antlers is preventing it from escaping. And because of this, the hunter managed to catch up with the deer and shot it. And what? What is the hunter's object of shooting a deer? The trophy is the antlers. So Mullah Ibrahim Devla was giving this example and he gave this analogy to and compared it. This is the relationship with dunya and deen. He said, we're taking pride in those things of dunya. And we want everything of the best of dunya. And he's giving us pride and making us full and making us good, feel good. And he's enhancing our image. But the eyes of the people, of the enemies, that is the very same thing that their eyes are on. And that very same legs that is looking down upon, the deer was looking down upon, that was the very legs was trying to take it to safety. Was trying to take it to safety. And say that is the very, today, the very same deen that we're looking down upon. And we're saying this is restricting us from our worldly progress. This is restricting us from all the pleasures of the dunya. But really, actually, that deen is wants to take us to safety. But because of this dunya and the pride that we have in this dunya, like how that antlers has stopped it and prevented the legs from taking it to safety, our obsession in this dunya has prevented the deen of ours which Allah has bestowed upon us to take us to safety. And that same antler was the cause of that person, that animal's death, and was the means of pride and trophy for that hunter. Exactly in the same way, that will be our form of destruction, and that love of dunya and that obsession of dunya will be the trophy for shaitan. So we must be very careful. As Maulana mentioned earlier, choose your friends and have friends that will and help us to reach our goal and to reach that happiness where Allah has kept it. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what is being said. And may Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding to understand where our real success lies and where our real happiness lies. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.